Come with us on a journey into the unknown, the unexplained, and the unbelievable. We will test your senses and challenge your beliefs. A world where science and religion clash. Or do they? You will meet real people and hear real stories, but you will not believe. You will witness strange sights and hear strange sounds, but you will not believe. This is the New England Ghost Project. Welcome to the nightmare.
Okay, Passer, everyone. Welcome to Ghost Chronicles. Can you hear me all right?
I can.
Morning edition. I am Ron Kolick, the standing host.
Outstanding host.
Even better.
Yep.
I will be standing outstanding in the hall. Of
so is that your Cinco de Mayo opening, Que Pasa?
Is it Cinco de Mayo?
Cinco de Mayo is coming up.
No, it's coming out, but it's not.
It's not now.
We're going to bring tequila shots into the studio.
That's later. The next. Oh, I'm in. Oh, tequila.
Are you kidding? You like tequila?
Oh, yes.
I can't. Why do you have to salt it? Put salt on it. Like,
because it's good.
Anything you have to work at, it's like, man, it's too much. I had a highball last night for the first time.
A highball. Okay.
Wild turkey and ginger ale.
Wild turkey. Wild turkey 101?
I don't know.
Okay.
Found this nip in my cabinet. It's like, oh, wild turkey. I'll take that.
And ginger ale.
Yeah, that's when I was growing up, that's what we used.
It's like 1955, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. A little bit older than that, I would think. I mean, a little younger than that, I would think.
No, I mean, but that's when highballs were big, right? 60s. No, 60s, right?
Yeah. Highballs.
Yeah.
So I take it you don't drink those.
I've never had a high.
Never had.
I'm curious now because I like ginger ale.
It's so. Ginger ale and you know, the taste is according to how much whiskey you put in.
I'm going to try it. I'll give it a try.
I've got my cabinet.
I'm a bourbon neat guy. So.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, that is the Professor Lou Balassi, my friendly co-host here.
Friendly.
Today, anyways.
Don't normally get described as friendly all that often. So good.
But
I'll take that.
Yeah. I mean, in my cabinet, right, I've got you ever see the Crystal Skull Vodka?
Yeah.
I had
it's Dan Aykroyd's, right?
Yeah. I did an event up in the Collinwood, up in... where the hell was that? Like Syracuse up that way. So where the heck in upstate New York?
Yeah.
And it's called the Collinwood because the mansion is a tribute to the Dark Shadows.
Oh, okay.
So he's got the big picture of Barnabas Collins and all that. Dark Shadows, you remember Dark Shadows?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, it's another thing he grew
the
up with.
The vampire soap opera.
Yeah, and grew up with that as well. So we went there and I did an event and then I had
if that's on anywhere. Can you stream that anywhere?
Oh, yes, you can.
Oh.
It's on, I know it's on Tubi, or Tubi,
is
whatever
it?
You want to call it. Yeah,
I'll be curious.
Yeah. I started watching the Twilight Zone all over again.
Oh,
Jen and I.
That's newly New Year's Eve for me, but I don't think they're doing the Twilight Zone marathon anymore.
You can do it on Prime. Prime, yeah, which is on Freevee. So Freevee is the free station of Prime.
Twilight Zone is super underrated.
Oh, it is.
It's
and the
so
guest
good.
Stars are on there. Jen and I, like, you know, seeing these guys like they were just kids when they were on there and would like talking about it. Who's that? Who's that? It's like we're guessing at it.
Ted Baxter?
They had Martin Landau.
Did you see that one, the Ted Baxter episode where he's on Mars and he's got an android girlfriend kind of assistant and he's got to go back home and he's got to leave the android?
Vaguely remember it, but don't. You know, I mean, the most famous, of course, is Bill Shatner.
The Gremlin. Yeah.
The Gremlin. But we started talking about some of the other ones that we remember. But
it's so good.
Yeah.
Such a good show.
Black and White. It's about half an hour. So it's a good filler. Anyways, what was I saying?
You went to Collinswood.
Oh, yeah. Collinswood. Yeah. Collins. Thank you. Thank God. Somebody's following this conversation.
And you get a bottle of vodka out of the deal?
I have a very good friend from... A fan, actually, from Ghost Chronicles, the original Ghost Chronicles radio show, came down from Canada to attend this event. And she brought me a nice bottle of...
Nice.
Oh, yeah. So still sitting there unopened.
I need fans
it's
like that.
Aged.
I need fans that bring me alcohol.
Yeah.
Although most of the hosts here at the podcast place, it's been good over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have... And... I have in my same closet, I have a bottle of, you know, those, you know, flasks used to, men used to carry flasks.
Yeah, sure.
This is a bigger one.
Yep.
You know, but it's a whiskey that I got at a wedding back in the 70s. Unopened.
Unopened?
Unopened.
Is there something in there or just a flask?
Oh, yeah, it's full.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's full. Yeah, it was made by the manufacturer. I can't remember what the brand is now, so I apologize. But it is a whiskey flask. It's whiskey.
I live near the beach, so I've got flasks. Got to travel.
Anyway.
Walking to the beach, you got to bring a flask.
So I noticed today, believe it or not, mm-hmm. in history.
Oh, okay.
In 1972, the Boston Marathon allowed a woman to compete for the first time. Nina Kusick was the first official recognized women's champion with a time of 3 hours and 10 minutes and 26 seconds.
Good for her.
So a friend, Dr. Kim, just prior to the show was on, and she runs it every year.
Yep.
Unfortunately,
that's sick this year.
She tried like hell. Yeah. And, I had actually jumped in the show and I thought she had completed it. So I made an asshole of myself. Congratulating.
No, you didn't. It's perfectly fine.
Anyway. All right.
I'm still kind of stunned she didn't do it, only because she would have had to have been very sick, and I'm sure she was.
Yeah. She's a lot like me. She's, if somebody tells you can't do something, you're going to do it. So, not that I do that.
One little interesting trivia we found yesterday.
I love trivia.
My Jan was digging in the backyard to plant a bush.
Uh-oh. And she dug up. She found the body?
Dug up a bunch of bottles.
Oh, cool.
Now, a couple of bottles that were like from post-prohibition, where they were marking bottles so that people couldn't make their own and resell them with homemade hooch in them.
Really?
Yeah. So we started digging in that into a little bit. And the trivia thing I found was Jeannie's bottle on the show I Dream of Jeannie was a bourbon bottle.
Oh, from Prohibition?
No, post-prohibition.
Post-prohibition.
But it was manufactured. It was a Jim Beam type of bourbon.
Hmm.
And they took it and they rigged it up for the show. And then they bought a bunch of them. So that was an actual bottle, an actual bourbon bottle.
Yeah. It's interesting because I don't drink anymore. I used to be a big Scotch drinker, big Scotch drinker. And she was real and all back then with the prime stuff that I used to drink that. And then I gave it all to my brother and I gave up drinking. So I still.
Just because?
Health.
Yeah.
I had some health problems. What else?
Chivas Regal is so good.
It was nice and smooth.
I'm not a big Scotch guy, but I do like that.
The reason I became a Scotch guy is like I used to work for this company called McAllister Scientific. And we went out to lunch one time. And it was at that time I worked in like my warehouse. And it was when I was going to college. So it was like a summer job type of thing. Actually, I think it was right after I get out of college. I was still working there for a bit. Anyway, everybody went out to lunch, and not everybody, but a bunch of the people. And you had like a one sided table where all the top players from the president and the market manager and the sales manager and all those people. And then on the other side were the warehouse workers and warehouse supervisors and so forth like that. And all this side of the table ordered beer. And all the other side, where the managers were, ordered scotch.
Oh.
So after that, I said, all right, I got to see what's going on with this. How come this is such a big... So I drank my first thing of scotch, and it's like, oh, God, how can I drink this shit?
it's an acquired taste. It takes a while.
But soon, it was just like, right after that, I was fine. By the time I was done with the drink, it was like, oh, this is good stuff. And then I started getting hooked on it. Not hooked on it, but it was the drink of choice.
Yep.
But anyway, so, all right. So, Dr. Kim was here. We could ask her this thing, but Scrabble. You know about Scrabble?
Yes.
You
love
play
Scrabble.
Do you?
Yep.
Do you have a game?
No. Usually play it on like Word with Friends and stuff like that. Scrabble Online.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Do you want a game? I have a deluxe edition with the table and everything.
No, play on the phone.
Sure.
Much easier that way.
Okay. Yeah, I inherited. I get like, these are the top notch board games.
Yeah,
they are. They have the turntable
and all
the cool stuff on it. Anyways, I love it. So the reason why I bring this up is that Scrabble has decided to come up with a new Scrabble game.
Okay.
Yeah, not okay.
No.
So this new Scrabble game is no longer competitive. Everybody works as a team make the words, the most words they can get.
Everybody gets a trophy.
Everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah.
Which blows my mind, because that's really the thrill of most of these board games, is to win or lose.
Right.
And people say, oh, no, it's about playing. Yeah, it is. But you got to have an objective, and you have to. The part about doing it is to drive you to do your best at whatever you do.
Yep.
And if you're doing something that doesn't count, you're really not doing your best for the most part. It's like, oh, it doesn't matter, you know?
Competition is fun.
Yeah, it is.
Especially really low-stake competition like Scrabble.
Yeah, I mean, you get some sore losers and you get some asshole winners, quite frankly. You know, rub your dirt in it and everything else. Like,
you know what that's called?
What?
Life.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly. We don't have these life lessons anymore, unfortunately, which is sad. But anyways, as I mentioned, I was cleaning today, and I found some Scrabble boards, games, and actually full games that I had in the box versions. But I came across the history of Scrabble, so I thought, what is the history? So in 1948, Alfred Butts. All right. Remember that?
Oh, no. Specifically.
Is that Sulzbach?
Oh, could be.
Oh, no. Or is it, what's the other one? He said Butts, whatever. They used to do whatever he said, something they would, whatever. Anyways. back to Alfred Butts.
So if you're marrying Alfred Butts.
Yes.
Do you take his name or do you keep your maiden name?
You know, what do you do?
What do you do?
It's, In reality, and
what if he married like Sarah Moore, and she'd be hyphenated, Sarah Moore Butts? There's all kinds of potential here.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Too many. I don't want to get stuck one on there.
Okay.
Yep. Do you know when you came into Ellis Island, if they couldn't pronounce your name,
Yeah,
and you got that name. That was your name.
My Italian grandmother on census is just written so many different. They didn't even care. They just got it close.
All right, so let's go back to Alfred Butts. Alfred Butts brought the Scrabble game to the marketplace. Years earlier, Poughkeepsie, New York architect, had observed that there is one thing that he keeps word games from being popular as card games, is that they have no score.
Yeah, see, competition.
Yeah, they're changing that now.
Yep. Yeah, we're going back.
With this little, with this in mind, Butts created, Lexico.
Lexico?
L-E-X-I-K-O.
Okay.
A scoring word game that was refined in the early 1930s and 40s and later called crisscross words.
Okay.
Okay. Butts turned out game. Why do I read this crap? You know, I need glasses too, which is even worse.
No, see, you got to get that fixed. Yeah. That's easy.
Well, I figure my back, I don't know how long I was going to be living. So
Stop it.
So Butts turned out a game. What the hell is this? Turned out game sets from his home to fill orders from all over the country. As he tried in vain to acquire a patent, a copyright, and a manufacturer, you know, so he was working on getting that and selling these games. Finally, in 1948, he had all three with a name change to Scrabble. There you go. A redesign of the game board. His pet project was rolling off the assembly line. Now Scrabble manufactured more than a million a year. Wow. is played worldwide in many languages.
Yeah.
That was, why do I even try reading? I just don't understand that.
Yeah, you could play it in other languages. Why not?
I guess, but you wouldn't have to have like the little funny symbols and stuff.
Well, yeah. Hmm. No, you could do without that. And of course, Japanese would be a little different. You know, Asian and
Chinese.
Yep.
Which would be hard because
you couldn't do it there.
But they do up and down.
But like, why couldn't you play Scrabble in France? You could play in French, German. Why not?
They invented the game, if you ask them. No. Yep. So yes, they invented everything.
Don't get me started on the French.
Ever see the one, the advertisement with the Statue of Liberty thing?
Which?
It's a new one out for Estee. The president's in the office and he looks out.
Oh, we got to give him a gift?
Yeah, we got to give him a gift.
What do we give him, cheese?
Cheese board.
Cheese board?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
They go to Estee's and get him cheese board. But whatever. Sometimes commercials are good. They make you laugh.
I know. I was just having this conversation. Most people hate commercials, and I like the art form. I just do.
I do if it's done right, but most of them, quite frankly, are garbage. Whatever.
The new DirecTV commercials with the two pigeons.
I like that.
There's a couple of them that are good, but there are some of them that are so bad, especially the audio-only ones. They're just so bad.
No, I don't remember that.
I'm on Spotify, and it's like that's all you hear on Spotify, these stupid commercials. And it's like someone got to check for
that
commercial.
I like the one where, they're talking about their baseball games, and they're talking about the Blue Jays and the Orioles.
Oh,
and
no, I haven't seen that one.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, it's TV.
Yeah.
So, yeah, do you want to know it, or should let it go?
Yeah,
they're looking in through the window, of course, and they're putting on DirecTV?
Yep.
DirecTV, and they said, look at all that. They get all these games all the time. It says, yeah, look at the professional baseball. You got the Orioles and the Blue Jays. And the other guy says, well, why don't they have the pigeons? Because we're not very athletic.
Yeah, that's a good line.
It's better. I'm sure I killed it anyways, whatever it was. But
and the Super Bowl every year, the big part of the Super Bowl for me is the commercials. I want to see the commercials.
I love the commercials.
And now they premiere them beforehand. You can get them on like YouTube and stuff. And it's like, I just want to see them in the game. I just want to see them for the first time in the game.
Since I didn't watch the Super Bowl, I can't really say.
Some of them are so good. I mean, they miss sometimes, but
it's like the halftime show. It's either good or bad.
Oh, the halftime show.
A lot of times just,
Lately, no good.
Yeah, I agree on that. But anyway.
This is my big thing every year at the Super Bowl. It's like, remember when U2 went out in the t-shirts and just, they didn't have 40 dancers. They didn't have a big light show. They didn't have all this. They didn't have marching bands. They just went out in t-shirts and blew the joint away. I want bands like that.
Do you remember Black Eyed Peas?
Yeah. That halftime? That was awful. That was the worst.
Well, they lit up, so that was good.
Yeah. That was the worst.
All right, so being the rabbit I am, I just happened to something catch my eyes.
Okay.
So this is the 18 funniest songs in music history.
Oh, all right. Now we're talking.
I don't know what I'm supposed to be talking about ghosts, but we end up talking about everything else. But
18 funniest songs in music history.
All right. So let's see, and we can judge on it. Right?
Yep.
Okay, the first one they put on is Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba Subauba.
Chumbawamba.
Thank you, dear. Chumbawamba is a funny enough brand name, but the British group's chart-topping hit, Tub Thumping, is also worth a laugh or two. It is a party song, one you sing at the top of your lungs when you're drunk.
Yeah, of course.
Right? That's all it is.
Yeah, I get knocked down, but I get up again. Yeah. Great song.
Oh, is that the one?
Yep.
Oh, see, I didn't even know that.
Yep.
Oh, I like that one. Oh, wow.
He He drinks a whiskey drink. He drinks a vodka drink. He drinks a lager drink. He drinks a cider drink. He sings the songs that remind him of the good times.
He sings the songs that remind him of the best times.
Yep.
Yep. I sing it all the time.
Parenthetically, Oh Danny Boy, and then I get knocked down. Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah.
It's funny, but yeah, good.
It's got no substance at all. I mean,
like Louie Louie.
What do you mean? Louie Louie had a lot of substance.
Did it?
It was banned.
I know, because no one understood the lyrics.
I know. I guess they didn't have lyrics on the incident. Remember that?
Oh, I wonder what they say it the lyrics dirty. Are for.
What?
For
Louie Louie?
Louie Louie.
Yeah. Or Louie Louie, depending how you say it. So anyways, while you're looking that up, It Wasn't Me, Shaggy was the next one.
I don't know if I know that one.
A joke written by comedian Ed Murphy. In the genesis for the 2000 smash reggae artist Shaggy. It's a tongue-in-cheek song about lying after you've been caught cheating, and it's packed with tons of absurd scenarios which inspire a chuckle.
Okay. I don't know if I'm familiar with that one.
I don't either. I never heard of it, I think. So any luck with Louie Louie's works?
There's dispute.
All right, I'm moving around.
Yeah.
Remember how it's supposed to be? It was actually banned at my high school.
Yeah, no, I know.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. Good Earl, the Chicks. Is this the Dixie Chicks?
Yes, they used to be the Dixie Chicks. Now they're the Chicks.
So it was probably written when they were the Dixie Chicks. Sure, this song is about murdering an abusive man and throwing his body in the lake.
Yep.
But somehow the Chicks managed to make it one hell of a good time. The humor factor is boosted by the song's goody music video, which starred Yaddy Yaddy.
Yep. I remember that song. Yep.
Do you?
Yeah.
So is that when they were the Dixie Chicks?
They were the Dixie Chicks back then. Yeah.
You know, that nothing frosts me more than that. It's like Lady A changing.
Lady Antebellum, yeah.
You know, that's like giving in to.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh gosh.
Well, the Red Sox are playing the Cleveland Guardians, so.
Yeah, give me a break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand. But
the Indians went with the Redskins.
Yeah, there's a group suing them to get the Redskins' name back.
You know, you don't bury that stuff. You leave it out there. Anyway.
I don't think it was particularly derogative.
You'll learn from it.
Yeah.
Oh, nothing irritates me more than like all the mascots you're taking out of the high schools and stuff.
Yep.
You know, the Warriors. Oh, my God. You know, they're actually portraying Indians as, you know, brave.
Yep.
Fighters and everything else. And, you know, they just like.
Well, you remember
Merrimack. We want to be known for our casinos, not the.
Merrimack College was the Warriors.
Yeah.
And they had a Native American logo, and then they just changed it to something that looked kind of Spartan, kind of Roman.
They're trying to change the. Yeah, well, I'm sure it's going to be offensive. So.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. The Italians and the Greeks don't get insulted, but apparently Native Americans do.
Somebody gets insulted. I bet you it's not even a freaking Native American.
I know. I bet they don't. But like I said, Warriors is.
The Braves. Oh my God. How terrible is that? Huh?
That's kind of honoring them in a way. Isn't
it's
it?
Honoring them. Yeah. Of course it is. Like I said, who do you want to be known as? As a mighty warrior or as a freaking owner of a casino?
What about the Fighting Irish?
Oh, can't have that.
No. Irish have a sense of humor. We're okay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Forget You, CeeLo Green. Who the hell's that?
No idea.
I don't either. The Uncensored Title.
This was written by somebody who's like 25 years old.
Probably.
Yeah.
Uncensored Title of CeeLo Green's is a decidedly more explicitly than Forget. So instead of Forget You, it must be F You.
Yeah.
Okay. But the G-rated version of this song is totally, get the point, across the, with a little humor. It's clearly resonated in fans who earned it number 2 on the Billboard.
see you driving around town with the girl I love. I'm like, forget you. Oh, ooh, ooh. I guess the change in my pocket wasn't enough. Like, I'm forget you and forget her too.
Or with the girl. Yeah, the girl I love. F you. Yeah,
said
yeah.
If I were richer, I'd still be with you. Oh, hey, ain't that some shh? That's how it's written.
Really?
Yep. Although there's a pain in my chest, I wish you the best with a forget you.
I'll give you a break.
Yep.
It's warm in here, by the way.
Yeah. You know, it's spring, so yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Bobby Girl by Aqua.
Bobby Girl.
Who the frick are these songwriters? A little juvenile and ridiculous catchy. It's hard not to giggle when you hear the tongue-in-cheek, sneaky, progressive lyrics of the Europop's artist Aqua's biggest hit in the United States. So big, I don't even never heard of it.
Hiya, Barbie. Hi, Ken. You want to go for a ride? Sure, Ken. Just jump in. I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. Life is plastic. It's fantastic. You can brush my hair, undress me anywhere. Imagination. Life is your creation.
Okay.
I'm a blonde bimbo in a fantasy world. Dress me up. Make it tight. I'm your dolly. You're my doll. Rock and roll.
Really?
Feel the glamour in pink. Okay. Again, whoever wrote this was 20,
it's another one I'm
25
singing.
Years old.
Isn't that I'm running around the neighborhood singing? Okay. I'm sorry. This list is not for me because I don't remember half these artists. How about Stacy's Mom?
Love Stacy's Mom.
Really?
Yes.
Fountains of Wayne?
Yep.
Oh, it's from 2003.
A, it's an awesome song.
Yeah.
B, yes, it's very well done, and it's kind of funny.
Really?
About the kid who's got a kid who's got a crush on a neighbor, his girlfriend's mom or a girl's mom.
Really?
Yep.
Get the lyrics?
Oh, yeah.
Well, do your job.
I'm sorry.
Listen to Pelichick. Just because he's gone doesn't mean we don't lose that monster.
Do your job.
It's more than they're doing right down there now.
Stacy, can I come over after school? We can hang by the poop. They sing it poop, 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 poop. Did your mom get back from
maybe
a business
some pigeons.
Trip? Did your mom get back from a business trip? Is she there or is she trying to give me the slip? You know, I'm not the boy I used to be. I'm all grown up now, baby. Can't you see? Stacy's mom has got it going on. She's all I want, and I've waited so long.
Oh,
Stacy, can't you see? You're just not the girl for me. I know it might be wrong, but I'm in love with Stacy's mom.
That's just special.
Stacy, do you remember when I mowed your lawn? Your mom came out with just a towel on. I could tell she liked me by the way she stared and the way she said, "You missed a spot over there."
That would do it, wouldn't it?
And I know you think it's just a fantasy, but since your dad walked out, your mom could use a guy like me. It's a great song. One of my favorite songs.
I have no idea. This is one of my favorite songs, too.
Yeah.
Probably well overplayed, but I have no idea why it's on this list.
What?
It's the funniest songs.
Okay.
Margaritaville, Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, Margaritaville.
That's how is that funny? Margaritaville, actually a pretty sad song, but there's no denying that the series of unfortunate events that befalls the protagonist is pretty darn funny.
Yeah, he's lost his shaker of salt. He stepped on a tab, pop, top, tab, cut his heel, had the cruise on back home.
Yeah.
It's not funny. It's not a funny song.
Funny.
It's a good song.
It's a good song.
Yep.
Retired. Whoops. Did I say that?
No, you can't say that.
I know what I'm sorry. We'll bleep that out. If we could bleep. Unfortunately, when I say something, I can't retract the guys, so
yep.
Apologize for me. I never heard of this guy's either. Bad Touch, Bloodhound Gang.
No.
Bad Touch. Definitely not a tune for the kids. Bad Touch is everywhere in 2003. What is this? Oh, 2003. This has come from. Is considered that it appears in the album title, Hooray for Boobies. Okay. It's perhaps not surprising that it's positively repeated with goofy sex jokes.
I can read some of this. I can't read all of it.
Is it that bad?
Well, it's borderline.
Go ahead. Give me what you got.
Haha, well, now we call this act of mating, but there are several other important differences between human beings and animals that I think you should know about.
What the hell?
Sweat baby, sex is a Texas drought. Me and you and the kind of stuff that only Prince would sing about. I can't read the next line.
Who sat around and said, you know what? I got a good idea. Let's compare human mating to animals.
I'm not going to read the next line. I probably could, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yes, I'm Siskel. Yes, I'm Ebert. And you're getting two thumbs up. You've had enough of two-hand touch. You want it rough. You're out of bounds. I want you smothered. I want you covered like my Waffle House hash browns.
All right, moving on.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Are you kidding me?
No, that's what it says. I can't read the next verse either.
Who sits around coming up with, I got a great idea. Let's just make this great song. Whatever. I mean, I'm sure it appealed to 16-year-olds. God. You know, probably get a lot of hate mail from this, by the way.
It's all right.
I'm on a boat, Lonely Island. Yeah. I don't know that one. 2009. See, this is all for the young whippersnackers.
No. What do you call them now?
Generation K, Generation B. I don't know what it is.
This person is 10 minutes old.
Yeah.
I'm on a boat. What's the act again?
The Lonely Island. I'm on a boat, the Lonely Island. What began as a satire for the rap obsessions with wealth became a smash hit with the comedy trio Lonely Island. They teamed up with rapper T-Pain and I'm on a boat. It's a silly and absurd, but made its way to the Billboard's Top 100 chart in 2009.
Yeah. A lot of F words in here.
Is there?
Yep.
Figures. Of course, it's rap, right?
I'm riding on a dolphin doing flips and stuff. The dolphin's splashing, getting everybody all wet, but this ain't SeaWorld. This is as real as it gets. I'm on a boat. Don't you ever forget.
There's another good song that's coming up. It's actually a good song.
Yep.
Walk Like an Egyptian. Right?
Good song. Yeah.
Even if you don't think the lyrics of this 1986 from the Bangles are that humorous, I don't. The dance that accompanies the song, featured predominantly music video, is definitely iconic doc humor. Now, all that being said, have you seen some of the dances? Well, you know, I've lived a few years, you know, just a few. And I've seen a lot of dances come and go. Do you remember some of the weird ones? Do you remember the Freddy?
No, not specifically.
Freddy was like...
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
That was the weirdest damn. I can't even remember the total thing, but yeah, the Freddy. They had these weird dances. Now, in all offense, they don't really have dancing on the floor. They just kind of like have movement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dancing is, that's another thing that's going by, like the newspaper. No offense to the Lawrence Eagle Tribune.
Our partners.
Yeah. Not anymore after they hear this. Oh, here's another one. That is probably very, very popular. I think it's what, but then again, I'm old, so I can't tell. It comes from 2000. It's called Who Let the Dogs Out?
Who Let the Dogs Out? Yeah, good song. Yep.
Bahamin. Maybe it's just because the 24 years have passed since Bahamin took over the airways with Who Let the Dog Woods Button Out. But in 2000, this song about a bunch of potty boys getting lambrastic with their dog-like behavior induced a laughter too. Oh, whatever. It's like the most popular song in like weddings. Well, used to be anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. All you need is a few drunks and any song can be good.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how many you want to do with these.
Okay. I search funniest rock songs.
Oh, okay.
If you want to go something a little bit more.
Oh, I have a good one.
Okay. What do you got?
Yakety Yak.
Yeah.
That goes Coasters, back. 1958.
Yeah.
Coasters probably, whatever. Yakety Yak, don't go back.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? What do you got?
The cover of the Rolling Stone, Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show.
That is a great song.
It's a great song, yep.
Super good song.
There's some good ones on this list here.
Give me some.
Werewolves of London.
Not a good song.
It's a good song. I don't know how funny it is.
I don't think it's funny, but whatever.
Give Me Three Steps, Leonard Skinner.
Oh yeah, Give Me Three Steps.
Funny song.
Yeah, it's about give me a head start.
Guy was, yeah.
Yeah.
Guy was dancing with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to get out of there.
Yeah, give me a head start.
Give me three steps.
Yeah, give me three steps. Because he knew he was dead.
Fat Bottom Girls by Queen.
Interesting song.
It's funny.
It's funny.
Yeah.
I'll give it a funny range on that one.
Boy Named Sue, Johnny Cash.
That's a strange song.
Strange song.
Yeah.
It's funny, though.
Sure.
Apparently, King Missile did a song called Detachable Penis. I don't know what's going on there.
Okay.
Not apparently, I want to. Beck did a song called Satan Gave Me a Taco. Which I've got to hear now.
You got to dig up the words it is.
Oh, yeah.
You got to dig. Satan Gave Me a Taco.
Lyrics. Yeah, it's Beck, too.
Oh, my God. We're killing the show with stupid songs.
Satan Gave Me a Taco. Okay, Satan gave me a taco and it made me really sick. The chicken was all raw and the grease was mighty thick. The rice was all rancid and the beans were so hard. I was getting kind of crazy eating all the lard. There are aphids on the lettuce and I ate every one. And after it was done, the salsa melted off my tongue. Pieces of tortilla got stuck in my throat and the stains on my clothes burned a hole through my coat. My stomach was trembling. I broke out in a rash. I was so dry and thirsty and I didn't have no cash. So I went and found a hose and tore off all my clothes, turned on the water, and shot it right up my nose.
I almost came up with another line for that.
Yeah, I bet you did. This is a long song.
That's all right. We'll skip it there.
Yeah.
So this was another one that, once again, I don't know the humor in this thing, but Big Iron Skillet by Wanda Jackson.
No, don't know.
It's a country western. It's about a woman's a man who is she's fed up with his no good philanthropy and behavior and decides to give him a womp over the head with a big iron skillet.
Makes sense.
Don't see the humors. You know what song is really bizarre? And most people like they sing it for sure, especially in our generations, right? It's great. No, I just thought it. Can't think of the name of it. Oh crap, how can I do it? The guy places an ad in the paper and give me the name of it.
Do you like pina coladas?
Yes.
Is that the name?
God in the sin.
Yeah. It turns out his wife shows up.
Yeah. And so they laugh, right? It's like, okay.
Yeah, they laugh.
So
yeah.
So here we are. Guy is cheating on his wife.
Yep. She's cheating on him.
And she's cheating on him. It's like, oh, isn't that funny? I never knew you like pina coladas.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You're out doing wrong again. It's plain for all to see. And you think there is here at home is where it ought to be.
What is that?
And you think here at home is where it ought to be. There's going to be some changes made when you get in tonight because I'm going to teach you wrong for right with my big iron skillet in my hand. I'm going to show you how a little woman can whip a great big man. If you live through the fight we're going to have when you get home, you'll wake up and find yourself alone. You say you're sick and tired of me and that I look a mess. But it's never dawned on you. This is my only dress. I've never met a man who's quite the likes of you. I don't know why I ever said I do. And then the chorus again twice.
I can't believe they put a cover of Rolling Stone in this too.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Good.
No, it's not. I think it's funny.
It's a great song.
It's a great song, but why is it?
It's funny. That's a funny song.
Can I go on the cover of the Rolling Stone?
I was living on a prairie. A funny song. That's not a funny song.
What is?
Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi.
Are you kidding me? That's a great song. Oh, yeah. So anyways, yeah. So they go to the bar and it's like, okay, this is my cheating wife. That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
It's not a love song. It's a freaking cheating song, if you look at me. But it kind of goes to that song, like, you know, the grass is always greener and you don't know where. You got till it's gone.
Yep.
Kind of scenario. But anyways, I was listening to the radio show the other day and they had this woman to call in. She was married to this guy for 27 years, had it with him. All right.
Yeah.
All this stuff that was doing.
So she calls a radio station.
Yeah. Well, this is the, yeah, they do that. So she says, left him. He says, I'm getting a divorce. And she packed up his stuff and got in the car. She got just got into the driveway and he already posted on Facebook that he was breaking up with her. But anyways, So what happened is that he actually started wooing her again. He went out on dates and everything else.
Yep.
And he's trying to amend himself. So I said, Jan, you ought to do that to me. You know, maybe it'll work. She said, yeah, I don't think so. Anyway, so we're going to take a short break and then maybe we'll get back to some ghost stuff. Maybe.
Let's ride.
Is that you?
Nope, we've had that.
Yeah, that voice sounds like you, Lou.
No, it's not me.
Let's ride.
Yeah, let's ride.
We'll be right back, right here on the net.
If you have a paranormal event, book, or something else you want people to know about, then why not advertise it on Ghost Chronicles Radio? With over 150,000 downloads a month, get your message out to an audience that's interested in the subject. We have a plan at a cost that fits your needs. For more information, contact Ron Kolick at anyghostproject@comcast.net or call 978-455-6678.
Are you seeing a ghostly apparition every time you look in the mirror? Are you terrified to realize that that pale, lifeless, lack of energy form hovering before you is in fact you? How would you like to be transformed? Healing begins from within, and it's never too late to start feeling good. Are you curious? Interested? Good. Don't wait another minute. Visit transformyourlifenow.org or contact Maureen. The email address is maureen@transformyourlife.org.
Everyone is cashing in on social media, and all marketing roads lead through social media. If you want to make a splash here in the Merrimack Valley, you need to tap in. This is where the new CEM podcast studios come in. Of course, you can spend your time, energy, and money learning how to wrangle technology to make a podcast instead of running your business. Or you can invest in telling everyone in the Merrimack Valley, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Maine, the Seacoast, or everywhere in the world about your great business, product, service, or yourself. The CEM Podcast Studio is a local audio and video studio dedicated to the craft of podcasts. Their studios feature state-of-the-art recording and mixing equipment designed specifically to produce the best audio and video podcasts. Best of all you need to worry about is your show, your business, and your brand. We do the rest. Call 978-686-9966. That's 978-686-9966 to schedule a no-obligation tour of the CEM facilities and meet with a podcast specialist. Or go to cempodcast.com to find out more about podcasting services. cempodcast.com, your window to the world.
Back to Ghost Chronicles Morning Edition with your host, New England's own Van Helsing, Ron Cohen. Subscribe to Ghost Chronicles Radio on Patreon. Get all that premium program.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. Having some fun.
Anyways.
Stuff that's exclusive for Patreon members.
Yeah, there is. Actually, we just posted one up the other day on the Governor's Mansion.
Ooh.
A little bit on that. So
nice.
So that was pretty good. Become a member like so many other ones. Our latest is Cosmos Annie. Cosmo Annie. So anyway. So I thought I'd take a look a little bit locally at ghosts. And I mean locally, not particularly in Massachusetts, but in the White Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to help me out with this, Lou, because my voice is going anyways. So anyways, these are actual accounts of some of the supposed hauntings in the White Mountains. And you want to start us off?
Okay. Any particular story that you wanted to
No, anything
first?
You want, my love.
Okay. The presence on Mount Washington and Summit.
I knew you'd go for that because that's like I knew about way before.
Everyone goes there, right?
Yeah.
You want to know about what's going on up there. The presence in quotes on Mount Washington Summit and surrounding area. Mount Washington was first named Agiok. I didn't know it. No idea how to pronounce that. Agiochichuk?
Oh, is that a word for me?
No. Yeah, word for you. Give it a shot. Agiochichuk?
Oh, don't worry about it.
Is a Native American word loosely translating meaning home of the Great Spirit. Speaking with a hiker and former employer of the summit, it seemed the mountain is appropriately named even today. He tells me that Mount Washington Summit is 100% haunted. Once I locked myself out of the building in the evening, I pulled at least three times and the door was locked tight. Suddenly there was a massive gust of wind out of nowhere. I tried the door one more time and it opened easily. To my surprise, there was no one on the other side opening the door for me. I also have heard stories about one of the buildings where the tourists are forbidden to enter and it's not frequented frequently visited by employees. One of the rooms inside of the building has a bed in it. Not that no one that has ever tried to fall asleep in that bed has been able to ever. There's also a Bible in that room. The Bible is always found turned to a different page, even when no one has been in the room. So they get a room for a spirit. It's his territory, right?
I don't know. I should stay there.
Yeah. Really?
You can go up there. You know, they have.
You can pay for a civilian. Like $2,000.
Is it $2,000
for an overnight stay? I don't know, some ridiculous amount. Yeah, no. Say
$2,000. Can't volunteer or something? There's no volunteer program.
Yeah, you know they'd make you work.
The spirit especially does not like the Tip Top House. The Tip Top House is the oldest surviving building on the summit. It was a historic former hotel built in 1853, said to be the oldest extant mountain. What is extant? Mountain top.
I don't know.
Hotelry in the world. Today, the Summit House features exhibits showing the mountain's history. I spoke with an avid hiker in the area. He's especially sensitive to the paranormal and has had countless encounters both on and off the hiking trails. He also does not like the Tip Top House. I went into the Tip Top House with my mom after riding the cog up. Too many ghosts to count. I suspect it's a gathering place for many who died nearby. I will not be going back into it. So, again, we're into psychology of ghosts.
I was just going to say this, yeah.
So, ghosts die and then they climb Mount Washington?
They're already dead on the mountain.
Oh, they died on the mountain.
Yeah. A lot of people died on the mountain.
Climbers? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, oh, a gathering place for many who died nearby. Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we just lost, at least one this past little while doing Tuckamans Ravine.
Oh, yeah.
A woman just
fell.
It's a long way to go.
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
You know, I like thrills, but why?
That's not a thrill. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know.
Then you get these people going up there in the winter, and they get crews have to go out and look for them. And
I get my thrills from Blueberry Hill, not Mount Washington.
There you go. He's also had many encounters on Crawford Path. Considering that the Crawford Path is the oldest maintained hiking trail in the United States, did not know that. There's been approximately 200 recorded deaths in the presidentials. It makes sense that there'd be a lot of activity along this route. In fact, there has always been activity on Crawford Path, even experienced in 1819 when the path was being built. Somewhere around Mount Eisenhower, particularly, is said that Ethan Crawford and a small group of woodsmen felt something so sinister watching them that it made their hair stand up on their necks. Two men left the job and would not return. They called it the presence.
The presence. The presence has been felt on most mountaintops.
A standard deal?
Yeah, but there's reasons for that, okay, if you will. First of all, because you look at your height.
Oxygen deprivation.
Oxygen deprivation is definitely one problem. Plus, also, you and I were talking about actually your famous story. I want to give you credit for that. It's the two guys who go in the wood. One hears, you know, something, and what's that? What's this and that? Or I hear, and no one hears, oh, that's a bird. That's a, you know, thing. Yeah. So if you go up in an area that you're not familiar with all the time, your imagination sometimes takes over it. Well,
you're on high alert. Yeah.
Yeah. And as far as that other one about, you know, she was sensitive. It's like, oh, there were many ghosts. Like, it was so matter of factly that it, you know, that thing to me,
too many ghosts to count. She said,
I have less credence in that testimony than someone who is just hiking and comes up and sees something that's out of the thing. But
yeah,
it's like, oh, they said, everywhere I go, like the mountain's haunted, everywhere I go, this goes. So whatever.
That person, that's the preferred outcome.
Exactly.
And too many of us fall victim to the
preferred outcome. I'm a medium too. I'm special.
They call it the presence. Quote, I've been followed by ghosts multiple times on the Crawford Path during the winter above the tree line. I can hear their footsteps crunching in the snow. If I stop quick, I can hear a few more steps, then it stops. Once while walking on the Crawford Path, I saw a woman in front of me. She was dressed in period clothing circa 19th century. She didn't move, but stood and watched me walk by. Once by her, I turned around and she was gone.
Okay, so to me, person standing there is a little bit more interesting. The footsteps, you figure, where are you? You're in a mountain, right?
In a mountain.
You're in the
in
woods.
In the winter, yeah.
You're hearing footsteps. What happens in those areas where there's not a lot of vegetation and this thing, you have an echo.
Yeah.
So basically, you're just hearing what already happened. The sound is still traveling. So I'm not, that doesn't really impress me.
No, and you get these situations where people, they don't manufacture these things, but like if you put someone in an abandoned warehouse in the middle of the night, they're going to hear things, right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Unless just,
they're,
your mind
unless they're familiar with it, like you said, with the guy in the woods and the birds and the beavers and all that crap. But yeah, I think that's absolutely right.
Let's see. Jeremiah Willie still roams the mountain he called home. On August 16, 2018, I hiked Tom Field and Willie with a friend. That was the Three Mountains, apparently.
Yeah.
As we started the spur to Tom, I asked my friend three times if she heard steel drums. All three times she said no. I was in the lead and on the descent of Willie. After climbing down the ladders, I looked about 200 feet ahead, and there was a 10 or 11-year-old boy wearing a white shirt and blue shorts playing on the left side of a trail, tapping a stick. My first thought was, who would let their child be out here alone? It was around 4:35 p.m. He looked at me with an impish look, and right before my eyes, he disappeared. I did not tell my friend. I knew about the Willie House as I grew up in Wolfsboro. I Googled the story and learned that three of the children were never found, and one of them was an 11-year-old boy. Very cool experience. I will never forget him sitting there tapping that stick and looking at me and then just vanishing. I will cherish my experience. That's interesting.
You know what the Willie House is, right?
No. Tell me the story.
That was the one where the family was in their house and they heard the thing and they took refuge, and of course where they went to refuge is the place that got wiped out.
Hmm.
Yeah. So there was supposed to be a couple of kids. Yeah, that's a famous story from up there.
The Willie family tragedy occurred at the base of Mount Willie on Crawford Notch. Sam Willie, his wife, five children, and two workers were crushed to death in a slide that careened off the mountain and into the notch. All bodies were recovered, with the exception being three of the Willie children. It is said that these three children haunt the notch today, running wild and harassing unsuspecting hikers.
You know that wonderful little statement they just said? All the bodies were recovered, except for three children.
Yeah.
So all the bodies weren't recovered. Right. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah. Flawed sentence.
Very flawed. It's a dramatical faux pas, I guess you would say, you know, like, oh, they were recovered, except.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that irritates me. But
the writer wrote, I wrote previously of other firsthand accounts of Mount Willie. One hiker was lifted off the ladders and thrown to the ground, and another hiker saw a presence.
Ari
was drunk and fell.
Yeah.
Another hiker saw a presence that disappeared before her eyes. You can read these accounts and more details of the Willie tragedy here. It has a link. These stories make it clear when you get the Willies, what it means to get the Willies, especially while hiking Crawford Notch.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So,
go ahead.
Do you feel some people, I mean, a lot of these pretend that some people are just more sensitive and more open to these things.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I've never had a real paranormal experience.
Okay.
Certainly not with a ghost, anyway.
Okay.
So if I hiked this, would I run into some of these things? Maybe I'm just not open enough, or my antenna isn't good.
You know, that's a weird thing, because I've seen what, once again, I'm not, this is not a brag or line or anything like that. I've seen what I believe are three apparitions in my life, solid apparitions.
Yep.
You know, a dog, two women, just not while I was ghost hunter or anything, but just doing stuff.
Yep.
Is around.
One of them, the woman at the lighthouse.
One at the woman at the lighthouse. Yeah, yeah. The dog was at the lighthouse, and the other one was at the Houghton Mansion. But the thing being, two of them were in daytime, by the way. One in the morning, two in the morning, actually.
Okay, so you weren't on a ghost hunting expedition.
No. Doing just stuff. I was having coffee one morning with someone else, and then I was setting up to do an event up in the Houghton Mansion. So two things. And even the third one, the ghost one, I was giving tours, but I saw someone who was just waiting for him to come in and everything else. But once again, it was nothing like I was looking.
Right.
And, you know, to this day, even though I've had these experiences, and I've had a lot more experiences as well, not necessarily with seeing apparitions, but other physical activity that has, you know, make you go, hmm. Mm-hmm. But even to this day, it's like, you know, what did I really see? What did I? I mean, I
you left the case open. You just set a set.
Yeah, I noted what I saw. I witnessed what I saw, and you know, I witnessed what I saw, and wrote it down or portray it, which is, you know, to me is the important thing, is that to get that down. If you don't, okay, then you begin to wonder about it. There's probably that may be what's affecting me now too. As you get farther and farther away from the event, your brain, which likes to put everything in order,
right,
starts rationalizing some of this stuff away. So it's so important when you do ghost hunting or anything really, whether it's UFOs, Bigfoot, is to document every single thing when it happens, not 10 hours later or whatever, as soon as you can.
That's where I am on my one UFO experience, where it's just like, I don't know what that was. I'm going to leave it.
But you're going farther and farther away from it. I bet you when you first occurred, you were more in awe than you are now, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're in the moment. So, yeah,
you're in the moment. So you definitely have that experience. It's definitely intriguing. It's definitely like, oh, wow, that was cool. But as you get farther and farther away from it, it's like, oh, I had that experience. You know, it's kind of like you kind of push it aside a little bit. And that's what happens a lot of times. That's why I think it is so important to document everything that you have and write it down and
try to capture that moment and that feeling at the time.
And as far as, you know, people being more sensitive, I you know, it's one of those things that you think about. And
Maureen's sensitive.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she
Roxy,
is.
Roxy, Leslie, I'm not.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Well, it's not necessarily so. You may be blocking it, basically.
And maybe rationalizing it away.
We don't really understand it. At least, they say, oh, yeah, I'm talking to dead people and everything else. But we don't really know who they're talking, where they're getting information. They believe they're doing that. But, even like I said a dozen times, I call myself a dumb psychic now, even though I was psychic a brick when I first started working here at WCCM, in that it's I'm getting involved. I kind of been those blocks and maybe have been loosened a bit.
Yep.
And so I do get information that actually is like, oh, that's cool. You know, it's like it even astonishes you. But I wouldn't call myself a medium. I wouldn't call myself a psychic, even though I may have the abilities to.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong. I may have the abilities, but I wouldn't call myself that because as far as I'm concerned, we really don't understand what that thing is. I mean, we like to do it really clear and everything else. When we get Dr. Kim on the show, one of the things I want to talk to her about is some of these reasons why we deal with that, and also the psychology, which I love that you coined that word, psychology of spirit, right?
Yeah.
Where, why would the ghost do this? So we look at psychology of the ghost rather than just the witness. The why would they be doing this? Why is it? So I'm, you know, can't wait to have Dr. Kim on the show to address some of these questions that we have. And in fact, I'm thinking about, and I would love, in fact, I'll get it done. I'll get it done this week. I want to do a survey of why people think certain things, you know, like why ghosts are here, for instance, and just your, whatever you believe.
What their reason is?
What you believe, why ghosts are here.
Okay, yep.
So that's all I want. So I'm not looking for just your explanation of why ghosts are here. And I'm going to set up a question on the Facebook page on all the radio shows, by the way.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
Be interested to see the results of that.
Yeah, we will. When Dr. Kim's here, we'll talk about that as part of the thing. So I know she's not well now, but hopefully we can get her on soon.
Yep.
Anyway, and I guess we've run out of time.
Yes.
Yeah. So we got sidetracked once again on stupid songs, but, well, what else is new?
That was funny.
So we want to thank everyone for listening, if you're still listening, to Ghost Chronicles Morning Edition with Lou and Ron right here on the net, New England Talks Radio. And you can catch us on iTunes and wherever else, you know, podcasts are played.
Okay.
So good night, everyone. And join us on Ghost Chronicles Radio on Patreon. Good night, everyone. God bless. Take care.
from ghoulies to ghosties, long-leggedy beasties, and things that go bump in the night. Deliver us, good Lord.